We've been reporting on what we call Obama's war in Afghanistan. The latest this morning, a roadside bomb killed 20 people just as the new NATO Secretary General was on his second day of a three-day trip to the southern part of Afghanistan. With us is Anand Gopal, Wall Street Journal reporter, joining us from Kabul. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what do we know is the latest with the bombing?
Well, there's about 21 people who are in a tractor trailer and hit a roadside bomb, all civilians, all of them killed. And this is part of a rising trend of increasing civilian casualties this year. Civilian casualties have increased by 24%, according to the United Nations. Casualties caused both by insurgents and by foreign forces.
Now, is this all in anticipation of the upcoming elections on the 20th? Is it to try to influence the outcome?
Well, this is part of the horrific environment this summer. There's been an increase in the number of international troops here, and with that, there's been an increase in roadside bombs targeting these troops. And this particular incident happened in the southern province of Helmand, where there's currently a marine offensive trying to clear areas ahead of the elections. So in that sense, it is related, but it's part of a larger uptick in violence.
So we're hearing rumors that the elections may not take place at all because of this violence. What are you reporting?
Well, there's a lot of polling centers in the south and in the east, the most violent areas, which may be closed because they're just too insecure and unstable. This will probably amount to about 10% of the total number of centers. So that's, the elections probably still will take place, but you're facing a large numbers of people in these affected areas may not get the chance to go and vote.
Well, of course, the question for U.S. policymakers is whether or not President Hamid Karzai can handle responsibility and what's going to be happening at the polls. With us to talk about that is Elizabeth Rubin, contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, who has a very big story out this weekend about her 3 days with the Afghani president. It's a fascinating, vivid portrayal of politics and the people in Afghanistan. And as Afghanis go to the poll, the key question then again is Hamid Karzai, the Afghani president, really up for the job? Elizabeth, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's a million-dollar question. You know, he's done the job for the past 5 years, and I think for the past 3 years, people have grown very unhappy with him and have been frustrated by his inability to crack down on corruption, by his inability to really have a vision for the country and carry through with it.
So, Elizabeth, you spent 3 days with Hamid Karzai. What were your impressions of the man, and what was the reaction of citizens to him? Was he out there pressing the flesh? Was he in a security bubble? Can you give us a little sense of that?
When I was there, I met with him in December and in February, throughout his presidency, he has been very isolated, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years. He doesn't go out that much. Basically, he sits in the palace and he has elders from different provinces come to meet him in the afternoon for long lunches. And most of the politicking is conducted from inside the palace.
I see. So you write in your piece that his reelection team is called the Warlord Ticket. Can you explain that?
Right. Yes. He made a very strange and many would say unfortunate move in choosing Marshal Fahim as his vice president. He was the minister of defense in his early part of his tenure, Karzai's, and everybody tried to get him to remove him because he was associated with the Northern Alliance, which were our partners in fighting the Taliban. But many of those people were the old warlords, which is to say they ran little fiefdoms around the country. They have wielded power through intimidation, money, killing, really anything to stay in power and to defeat their enemies. And they continued with this kind of politics once the so-called democracy was brought in.
So do you think Karzai is justified in having that opinion, or at least that spin?
I mean, at that time, absolutely. There's no question. But there were times after that when he started to rely on them more out of not knowing how else to create a movement for himself, because he had isolated himself from so many people in the country, and he had no political party, and he really had no grassroots movement. We installed Karzai.
But are there really any credible alternatives? CNN says there are only really 2 men out of 40 who have any chance of challenging him in this election, and their popularity is only in the double, or hasn't even broken double digits, actually.
that's the thing about Afghanistan, which is it's not a very, you know, there's not a lot of television. Basically, I would say 70% of the country relies on radio. You earn a lot by just being known, and Karzai's been known. He's been in power for 8 years. Both of the candidates who are the top two of the 40, that is Dr. Abdullah Abdullah and Dr. Ashraf Ghani, both of them, I think, would be great alternatives. The problem is, can they get elected? Also, you know, Karzai he's got the levers of power all over the country. So in remote places, there are 7,000 polling stations that are going to have counting. There's no way there's going to be monitors all over the place. People are going to be stuffing ballot boxes for him.
Well, we'll certainly be watching that very closely here at The Takeaway. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us. That was Elizabeth Rubin, who has a fascinating piece in the New York Times Magazine this weekend on her 3 days with Hamid Karzai. I encourage you to read it.
He's certainly the incumbent. One more question now for Anand Gopal of The Wall Street Journal in Kabul. Anand, I mean, what is the mission of this violence today? Is it targeted at Karzai and the sense of stability politically in Afghanistan? Or are there pushbacks militarily because of the offensive going on in Helmand province?
Well, it's a little bit of both. The violence is targeted towards the international troops in places like Helmand, but it's also regularly directed towards all representatives of the government. Today, there was also a roadside bomb that killed a few police officers in Helmand province. And that way, they're trying to create a sense amongst local people that the government cannot protect them, or that the government security. And by doing that, they're hoping to erode the support of the government. And they've been largely successful in doing that over the last couple of years.
Anand, thank you for joining us from Kabul. That was Anand Gopal, Wall Street Journal reporter.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.